an honor to be able to introduce him. Brother Putnam, you are a great man of God. But above and beyond that, he's a great true friend and a great leader. And it's just an honor to have you here. I want you to come and preach this morning. We love you. Appreciate you, brother.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Why don't we put those hands together and why don't we magnify the one that we came to worship and to adore? His name is Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior of the world. There is one Lord. There is one God. There is one faith. There is one baptism. He's in us and He works through us. And we thank God to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. Anybody excited about being here today? Amen. Now, if some of you are excited, you better inform your face about that, because it is such an honor to be back at Calvary Gospel Church. Good to be with Pastor Roy Grant. Amen. I'm sorry that Bishop and Sister Darlene Grant aren't here today. Sister Darlene is not feeling very well. But we are honored. Brought my girlfriend with me, and praise God. Amen. For some of you young people, you know that you start going together and you break up. You start going together and you break up. You start going together and you break up. Well, I want you to know I started going with her about 48 years ago. And we broke up just one time. We thought we had this great, dumb idea. We would start dating other people to just make sure that she was the one and that I was the one. And I think I was more sure than she was about me, but thankfully it all took. And I am so thankful for my wife. She is a great woman of God, and I thank God for her. Amen. Praise God. And she has been tagging along with me these many, many years. Boy, it's good to see you all. Amen. For those of you that don't know me, that's okay. But it's just a great opportunity to be back here at Calvary. I'm always excited about what I hear about Calvary Gospel Church. Thankful for the vision, amen, of Brother Roy Grant. Amen. And starting 15 new daughter works in the next, 10 years, is it? Next 10 years. Amen. I want to report to you folks that just 10 years ago, we had just about 57 churches and 13 daughter works. And now in Wisconsin, we have over 121 works going. Praise God. And Calvary Gospel Church is a great big part of that. And so we're very, very thankful. And we give you all congratulations. Keep up the good work. Amen. And we've been doing a lot of traveling around many, many districts this past year. And there's several districts that are now have looked at Wisconsin. And now all what I'm about to say is all glory to God. But they've looked at Wisconsin to see what's happening. They're adopting some of the things we've been doing here in Wisconsin. And so I don't know about you, but I am excited to be a part of a pace-setting district in this country. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so we are just very thankful to be here. I'm going to direct your attention today, if you would turn to the second book of Kings. 2 Kings, and if you would turn to chapter 4. And also, if you turn in the New Testament to the second book of Corinthians, Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, we'd like to take a thought from these scriptures. Amen. In verse 1 of chapter 4 of 2 Kings, it says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, thy servant, my husband is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And I think today, in our world today, you can understand this next line. It says, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha, who is the prophet, said unto her, verse 2, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Just a simple pot of oil. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church in his second letter in chapter 1, in verse 21, he says, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath what? What does it say, church? Say it again. Anointed us is God, who hath also, what? Sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. I want to speak to you a little bit this morning on this subject. Never, never underestimate the value of the anointing. Never underestimate the value of the anointing. Would you put your Bibles down, and would you lift up your hands right now and your voices, and would you just ask the Lord to speak to you right now? Father, in the power of your glory and your majesty, God, I don't want to come here today just putting them, just talking. I want to come, dear Lord, in the fear of God and with your touch and your holy anointing and your divine unction, God, upon this congregation and upon, dear Lord, this entire body of believers. And I'm asking, Jesus, when it's all said and done here today, that you have been glorified, that you have been honored, that your word has been lifted up. And God, I pray that all of us would be obedient and that all glory, honor, and praise would be given unto you. We ask this in the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, that you would touch each and every one of our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen. Everybody said amen. Now why don't you clap your hands, and somebody may need to give a victory shout of the goodness and glory of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm very, very honored to be here. I'm honored to be in a church that has a vision, and a vision for the lost. But regarding the text that we just read, the prophet Elisha was purposely sent to the wife of a deceased man. And this man was associated with the school of the prophets. So he was one that was a believer in Jehovah. He was one that followed the word of God. And this woman is portrayed here, this wife of this deceased man is portrayed as a person that literally is beside herself. She's got more month than she has money to pay bills. Can I get a witness on that one? Her husband has died. She has two sons and evidently a litany of creditors that are putting pressure on her to pay up what is owed. The tax collector has got her number. It's got her address, and she's worried with the threat. She's worried that those creditors will come and that they will confiscate the most precious that she has to her, and that is her own sons. And that those sons would be placed in a position of bondage to pay the debt that is owed. Now, I don't know about all of you here today, but I know for myself that I am also a debtor. I owe that which I know I don't have the means whereby to repay. A debt that far exceeds any amount of money or wealth. A debt that far exceeds any amount, amen, of my time. A debt that I know that has already been paid for me by one who showed mercy upon me, one who loved me even before I knew him. Can I get a witness here this morning? I believe that all of us understand that we're all debtors. Turn to your neighbor and say, you don't deserve this salvation. You didn't earn this salvation. We're all debtors. We were all enslaved to a taskmaster that was grievous. One that did not care about our eternal welfare. One who was determined to steal every bit of life from our being. One who was determined to kill any amount of joy that we might have had in living. One who was determined to destroy our very soul forever and ever. But instead of destruction, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, brought us out of the miry clay. He set our feet on the rock to stay. And now I am a debtor to His cause. I am a debtor to His purpose. I am a debtor. Can you clap your hands unto the Lord? In other words, I'm no longer my own. It's not a matter of me just showing up at a church service and thinking that I'm doing God a favor when I know that I need to be in the house of God. I need to be in a place, as David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Why? Because I find peace in this house. I find healing in this house. I find joy in this house. I find deliverance in this house. I find His prosperity in this house. The prophet looked at this woman's dilemma and he asked her a question. He said, what shall I do for you? Jesus asked that same question to an individual once. What would you have me to do? And this woman, the prophet says, what do you have in your house? Can I ask this congregation this morning, what do you have in your house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a little pot of oil. Now, she contemplated the prophet's question in the confines of her imagination. I have to believe that she had nothing of any significance except that pot of oil. And in her response, she did not even see any value in having that. Perhaps she had that oil long enough that it did not seem to be anything of worth to her anymore. In her mind, she was undone. She was penniless. She couldn't think of anything that she possessed that was of any value to the extent of her indebtedness. But the prophet Elijah, the man of God, gave her hope. Did not give her a payout. Did not come in and just pay off the situation. But what did he do? He gave her a ministry. He gave her a ministry. He said, you take your two sons and you have them go out and borrow some vessels. You bring those vessels back into the house, and then you shut the door, amen, with you and your sons in the house. Don't get your vessels, not just a few, but get as many vessels as you possibly can. And you get them into the house. Amen. And I'll show you just how valuable, what you don't think is very valuable, how valuable that little pot of oil is. Now, church, I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I thank God that I've been living for God for over 43 years. But praise God, I want you to know something, my friend. That little bit of Holy Ghost that God gave me is still sustaining me 43 years later. I'm telling you, He is the most valuable thing that I have in this earth. I don't come to play church. I don't come just to be made sure that everybody knows I'm here. I'm here to worship my God. I'm here to lift up His name. I'm here to exalt Him. He is worthy of all of our praise, of all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I just have the Holy Ghost. What? Well, you know, I just have the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm sure there's nobody in here that's ever gone through any problems or any trials or any tests or any disappointments or... Huh? I am convinced the closer we get to the rapture of the church, amen, and as the pressures of this life keep on coming upon us, amen, whether it be finances or whatever it is, folks, you got to understand something, amen. There's a lot of stuff that's going on today. I just read just last month, the next 10 years, the big focus in America is going to be on are the retina scan or, everybody say or, putting a number in your forehead or a number in your hand. And it's going to be for our good, folks. That's what they're going to sell it. No more identity fraud. We'll all have our own identification number, amen. When we walk into a store, we'll already be scanned. And I'm telling you, that's getting kind of scary. Hello? You know why it's scary? Because I read about it in the book of Revelation. And they shall have a mark in their forehead or in their hand, and they will not be able to buy or sell without that mark. But bless God, it is not a good thing to have. All I got is this Holy Ghost. All I got is this. I'm afraid we got too many Christians that are living on emotion rather than on faith in what you have in yourself. Amen. I'm not talking about outside of this building. I'm talking about we who are apostolic. My friend, I thank God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost that has changed our hearts, that has changed our lives, that has made us new creatures in Christ Jesus, that old things are passed away and all things are becoming new. But I'm telling you, the longer you have it, you got to be careful never to underestimate the value of what you have inside of you. Prophet said, go borrow some vessels. You see, it wasn't a matter of, well, just sit down and have a pity party about what don't you have. No, the prophet says, get out there. Get out there. Amen. Get out there and bring in some vessels. Amen. That you don't have now. Amen. Brother Yusuman, get out there in Columbus. Amen. Get out there at Park Ridge. Get out there and all over this city. Amen. Why? Because you're getting vessels that God is going to make sure, amen, that you come in contact with that are empty, and you're going to bring them into the house, and you're going to close the door, and you watch what God does with that oil. Oh, stand to your feet and clap your hands. Thank God for the value. The value. Of the Holy Ghost. Somewhere along the line from, you may be seated, somewhere along, I'm sorry if you thought I was done, I apologize. Somewhere between the time of the ministry given of go, faith and obedience checked into her spirit. What did she have to lose? Brothers and sisters in Christ, what do we have to lose to do what Jesus told us to do? Amen. To go. Everybody say go. Tell your neighbor, go. Tell them again, the other side, go. Into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's what the prophet of prophets said. Amen. That's why we can support in El Salvador. And that's why, indeed, you can see, as we saw on this tape today, a man that has committed two homicides, has stolen from many, and now he's a local license. Why? Because he found something that is more valuable, amen, than all of the money that this world could buy. He values, amen, that which is now inside of him. Praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost up here. Amen. So they start bringing in the vessels. Those of you that got saved at Calvary Gospel Church, amen, would you please stand right now? If you got saved here, would you please stand to your feet right now? Looks like this church has been doing what it's supposed to be doing. What do you mean? Somebody, Sister Hawk, gathered this vessel and brought you here. Somebody gathered this empty vessel and brought you here. Brother Hopp, somebody gathered this empty vessel and brought you here. Hey, folks, if you're standing here today, amen, praise God. Somebody, amen, brought an empty vessel and closed the door and preached the word of God, amen, and started pouring out just that little pot of oil. I'm telling you, there is a big pot of oil in this place that God has for everybody. $278 this year so far. Amen. Somebody ought to say, praise God. You've been saved just this year. Would you please stand? Amen. You've been saved just this year. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. She took that little pot. And that pot got filled. 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 And that one, and that one, and that one. And the Bible says, and there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Hey, now you know what? I would love to believe when I preach or whatever that, you know, that I had a little something to do with it, you know, and you know, bless God, I study and, you know, and I pray, and I know that's what you do too, Pastor, and all of you preachers, that's what we do. And then we get up and we stand behind a pulpit and we preach to many people. But that's not just what does the trick. Because I used to go to a church many, many years ago. And they had a preacher that did the same thing. And absolutely nothing happened. You know why? Because from the pulpit, their vessel was empty. And there was nothing to start out with to pour in. My friends, if you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have got power inside of you that you don't even recognize that you've got power on the inside of you. Amen. Jesus put it this way, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. I'm telling you, church, if there was ever a day that we need to be out in the highways and the byways and bringing the vessel in, it's today at this last hour. We need to be at work. We need to be bringing in, amen, all the vessels we can bring in. Do you realize what happened here to this lady? Everything that she had need of for her creditors, she already possessed. She already had it. She just underestimated the value of what she had. Church, don't ever equate the greatness of what is inside of you just to a feeling and just to an emotion. Because God is greater than our emotions. He is greater than our feelings. He is God. And what you have on the inside of you, if you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, I'm telling you, you've got more than just a good feeling. You have got God Almighty on the inside of you. You've got the power of all creation living on the inside of you, and that's why we can sing power, power, wonder working power in the blood. No wonder Jesus said in John, 1 John 2:27, John himself said this, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Hey, folks, when you go into the world, Patrick, when you go in the world, there's something different about you, bud. Amen. There's something different. You know what, church? We all need a checkup from the neck up. We do. We have a little thing happen to us, and we're just... My dog died this week. And I'm thinking, hey, 3 weeks ago on Tuesday, I was doing this little exercise off of my deck and by taking some lawn furniture back of the deck that had been repainted, and it was kind of misting outside, and I had some tennis shoes on, and all of a sudden, shoo! Now, if you felt the earth shake, it was me that felt. He had this little, about 2 foot grade there, and I went right down the grade. It was a pretty neat sliding board but this hand came crashing down our stone retaining wall. I just sat there a few minutes. I said, Oh, God, no. Now what? No, I didn't say that. You know what I said? Thank you, God, that I didn't break a leg. Thank you, God, that I didn't break my, amen, my head. Or some people may argue about that point, but my wrist was another story. And I'm left-handed. And I'm telling you, it's a whole new world on this side of the spectrum. Now, you can bemoan your situations, or you can indeed understand that greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. Now, I had Sister Putnam take me to the emergency room. They x-rayed it, and they said, Mr. Putnam, right up here at the base of your wrist in the distal radius. Anybody know what a distal radius is? Amen. Sister Wittenbach, you know what a distal radius is? She's going, no. She said, it looks like there's a hairline fracture right there. And then she came in and pressed on where she thought it was, and she about sent me up to the moon. She said, you fractured your hand. So they gave me a splint. We had planning session that next week. I couldn't get back to a doctor for a follow-up. I was praying. I was asking God for His will. So we could go Friday. I went to an orthopedic doctor. They re-x-rayed it. He came in and he said, well, Pastor, I don't see that you have any fracture or you don't have any break or whatsoever. Amen. I'm telling you, there is power in our being. Oh, somebody stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. I tell you, there's more power in this room than indeed half of the world would just die for. That's why we can't afford, folks, to just be down in the dumps all the time. Last week at Parkway, I was preaching in Parkway, and they did this little skit, and I'm about done here, so you can still stand. Musicians, you can come. They did this little skit about the deck that we're handed in life. And they had these big, you know, these big jumbo playing cards. And some of us are dealt a really good hand, seemingly good health, good wealth. But he said, invariably in everyone's hand of life, there's some cards that are just not pleasant. And this last girl that testified, she said, she picked out one of these cards. She never showed the front of it, just the back. And she said, this is my bad card. She said, I was diagnosed 10 months ago with a very, very, very strange, unique, not ordinary, heart disease. And I have a hole in my heart that no doctor in the area will even attempt to fix it because it's never been done before. And she's standing in front of a church crowd just like I am right now in front of you. And she said, I could die any moment. But she said, greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. Now, folks, 44 years ago as a teenager, I couldn't say that because I was lost. I was living life to what I thought was the fullest, and yet I was empty as could be. I was dead in trespasses and sins and didn't even know it. I just knew that no matter what I tried, no matter what I did, happiness was never elongated in my life. It was just always an event. But I found something. I found out that somebody invited me as an empty vessel to a house where that night on January the 16th, 1971, that God filled Joanne Greathouse and John Putnam with the Holy Ghost that night. And I'm telling you, it has never been the same since. Can you lift up your hands, Calvary Gospel? Hallelujah. Can you show your appreciation right now to your Lord and to your Savior? Hallelujah. 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 It's also very easy, my friend, to just kind of take things for granted as we go on through life. Prophet Jeremiah recorded in the 48th chapter, the 11th verse. He talked about Moab. He said, Moab hath been at ease from his youth, and he hath settled on his lees, and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Neither hath he gone into captivity, therefore his taste remained in him, and his scent is not changed. Moab was the incestuous son of Lot, whose descendants were the Moabites, a thorn in the side of Israel. And God told him that his ease from his youth and his willingness to settle on his past accomplishments was his demise. Why? Because he had not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Folks, I don't know how many years I have left. Months, days, or even hours. But all I know is I've lived a lot longer than I've got coming ahead of me. So I got to figure I'm in the home stretch now. And this is no time for John Putnam to sit down and just pat myself on the back for past accomplishments. No, my friend, I still, Brother Hawk, need to be emptying vessel to vessel, vessel to vessel. Why? Because I want to be constantly refilled and replenished. Amen. And be renewed in that power of his glorious anointing and his oil. And I wonder today if you, Calvary Gospel Church, every one of us, and I know that your culture here, your church culture, that not everybody has to come to the altar. I recognize that. But my friend, if you're here today and you're in need of this Holy Ghost that I was talking about today, amen, would you just come right up front here? Amen. If you are desiring Jesus Christ on the inside of you, you're desiring power like you've never believed, happiness and joy. If you need healing, would you come over here to my right? And if you just need to renew a commitment to God and says, God, amen, I never want to underestimate. I never want to underestimate, God, the value of your anointing, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Why don't you come with your hands raised? Amen. With your voices raised. And let God pour out His glory and His grace upon you. Hallelujah. He loves you, my friend. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be born again. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Our God is greater.
Our God is stronger.
God, you are higher than
any other.